the Sideload, where we're tricking out our brand new Pixel watches with every band imaginable. I'm your host, Will Saddleberg. Today, my guests are Noah Denzel, CEO and co-founder of Nomad, and Harvey Hunterberg, Associate Director of Product Management at Nomad. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Good to be on.
Happy to be here, Will. Thanks.
I'm really excited to talk to you both because, the news this week, the reason that I asked you guys to be on and Ben Schoen, who is our guest on the first episode of this podcast, reached out to you on my behalf, is because you guys are launching a Pixel Watch band tied kind of in, you know, timed with the Pixel Watch 4 announcement earlier this week. And that's big for Nomad because you guys are traditionally focused on Apple accessories, iPhone accessories in particular. And I understand, even as an Android fan, I can understand why, and I want to get into this pretty in depth because, you know, and Noah, you and I started talking about this a few minutes ago before we started recording, but like even just deciding where to start with making accessories for Android can be difficult. So I think, you know, jumping off the Pixel Watch 4 band, let's start there. What made you guys want to make something for the Pixel Watch when, you know, you've only ever, as far as smartwatches go, only ever made Apple Watch accessories?
I have some thoughts. I know this is where I say I play a stronger role in at least wanting to share on this because where Harvey's been leading up the product development side of this product, and we have alignment on big internal alignment on this because when we. But I was referred to earlier as betting on a horse. It's like betting on a horse, right? If we pick a platform, I mean, look, we have built things before for Pebble. We did accessories for Pebble back in the day. We actually did a little Pebble charger. We've built cases for Samsung before. We've built Pixel Buds. So we have veered and explored outside of the Apple ecosystem. But It's a big bet, right? Because the Apple ecosystem is our place of safety and it's a really wonderful ecosystem to be in. But from the beginning, we were never intending to be an Apple-only accessory maker. We were intending to build great products to keep people charged, protected, organized, on the go. And Apple is a huge platform. It's the single largest smartphone market in the world. So it's those several devices cover all of Apple, right? There's no third party Apple. So it's a huge opportunity for us from a simplicity standpoint, especially when it comes to things like cases, where every single case is generally not backwards or forwards compatible. So you do the tooling, the production, all the work, et cetera. It's for that one season. So unlike Apple Watch, where smartwatches have been, the Apple Watch band and lugs have been interchangeable and backwards compatible to the very beginning. So for us, Pixel's a great opportunity, especially doing the Pixel band specifically, because there's some more of that backwards and potentially forwards compatibility. With this band we just released, it works for the 3 and the 4. Okay, that gives us longer shelf life there. So we have experimented. We have frankly been, we've had to experience challenges in the past of experimenting and something not going well, but we're not sticking only with Apple. So we, just like our very first product, we built an Android version for it, for the charge card and later the charge key. We want to have versions for other platforms. So you could see something else coming for us for additional ones. We want to be careful and thoughtful. We can't do everything. We need to make sure that they're smart bets, but what better bet to have than for Google? And by being close to Google, by being close to their work, even if you look at USB-C, we were very early to embrace USB-C in 2015 or 16 on one of our portable power products at a time where no one was using it. We were very early to do that. So being close to these protocols, and of course, later we saw Apple adopt USB-C. So for us, being close to these things allows us to stay current, to stay on top of things, and to continue as a leader in our space for everybody.
Is there a reason that you pick Google for this expansion rather than someone like Samsung, who has also been developing watches for longer than Pixel, although perhaps not as I think they use universal lugs now that I think about it, but so you would have that universality that you're talking about with the Pixel Watch without the what's the word I'm looking for?
What is proprietary. The word for that?
Good lord, proprietary. The Pixel Watch has a proprietary band connector, whereas like maybe a Samsung device doesn't. Is that part of the thinking? Do you find that like making accessories for devices with proprietary connectors helps you feel like the band is more specifically designed for that particular smartwatch or that line of smartwatches, as opposed to making a generic like this attaches to any, you know, 22 millimeter lug or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll take this one though, just from a little bit more of like a product specific standpoint. The Google Pixel lugs also are proprietary. The interesting thing about this, making this band, is that we had to change up our design from our Apple Watch band, which is we call the Active Band Pro, because we made custom lugs for the Apple Watch many years ago, and we still use those. They're a little different than the sort of off-the-shelf ones, and they have a wider lug base. So the cavity for the lugs is 24 millimeters wide. And the Pixel Watch, we actually worked with Google to source a supplier that Google has vetted and done development with and stuff. So we knew that the lugs that we got from them weren't going to have any interference with the watch itself, which is something that can happen if you get really like a cheap product that hasn't been tested. So for this first, you know, our first iteration of bands for Pixel Watch, we wanted to make one using Google approved products. And those lugs came with a 22 millimeter wide cavity for the band. So we had to redesign our Active Band Pro to make this one specific for the Google Pixel Watch. And now they are 22 millimeters wide. And so when we were working on this, we were like, you know what, why don't we try and make this one more compatible? And so on this watch, we actually have a quick release bar on the back, whereas all other bands that we've used lugs in the past have just had like internal spring bars. And the quick release, we're quite excited about it because it makes the band have longer staying power for the customer. If you buy it and then you get like, let's say next year you got the Pixel 5, or Pixel Watch 5, and you got the silver instead of black, you can just switch out the lugs and keep the band. So you can transfer the band on this one. It's something we're testing out. We're kind of seeing like, what do our customers like? Is that a feature that's useful for them, or is there some unforeseen drawback? So for this one, to your original question, we do like building for proprietary ecosystems because there's a clear customer and we want to build something for them that they like. It's really important to our product development process to take feedback from our customers, whether they be individual direct-to-consumer customers or press and media people that we work with, like yourself, who we give product to test out, and or wholesale customers that we give product to, and we take all that feedback. So building for an ecosystem, you're going to have customers that have a lot of, like, they care a lot more, and so they're going to give better feedback and also are more interested in sort of like joining the Nomad ecosystem, like leather goods or our sport band lineup and whatnot. So I think there's a lot of benefits to building to proprietary products. This is one where it's kind of a hybrid though. So we'll see, you know, it's kind of up to the consumer on how they end up wanting to use it.
That makes a lot of sense on the proprietary side of things, because it's, you know, if you were just to make, I guess, you know, a band for a Galaxy Watch, then you're essentially just making like universal watch bands. And at that point, it doesn't feel quite as special and as customized. And I know that is a big thing for Nomad. The quick release mechanism, you said that's new for the Pixel Watch, right? Is that not on the Apple Watch bands?
No, our Apple Watch bands, because we have the custom lugs that are 24 millimeters, we just decided to use an internal spring bar, which is nice. You get a little bit more fidelity because like those things should never come off. And then the quick release you design so that it should come off. So it's kind of like, do you want to control how the user uses it, which in some cases is good, or do you want to give them the option to change things as they like or take it off or switch it out?
Is that something, the quick release mechanism, is that something you could consider bringing to the Apple Watch in the future? Like, is that something that you've learned you like about having designed it for the Pixel Watch, or is that kind of a, because the Pixel Watch mechanism is so unique compared to other smartwatches, is that something that stays over there?
No, I think that it's a good question because we've sort of been asking ourselves the same thing. This one, it felt obvious. It's like, oh, let's bring this. A 22 millimeter lug is a lot more common for all wearable devices than a 24 millimeter. So it was kind of felt weird before, but now if it if it is a feature that our customers like, then we would totally bring it to some of our other products in the lineup. It works best with leather bands though, or okay. anything that uses like a individual, like a separate lug. So like our rugged band, for example, which is FKM, we could bring it to that. It's certainly something we've discussed, and we'll see in the future if it's a feature that people use.
Nice. Noah, you touched on universality as a important factor in terms of picking a device, which is, you know, the Apple Watch having never switched up its bands since it came out in 2015. It's 2025. That's a long time for you know, any company really to stick with one design that they decided on a decade ago. How does that play into the decision to just keep the Pixel Watch band to the 45 millimeter option, which is the reason that it doesn't work on the Pixel Watch 1 and 2. There was no 45 millimeter Pixel Watch 1 and 2.
So we sell for our Apple Watch, which, you know, can't help but compare, a lot more, measurably more of the larger size. And since this is our foray into Pixel Watch, we wanted to start where we felt made the most sense and was the most confident from a, you know, production standpoint, from testing and learning. So we, as things develop, maybe the Pixel, you know, Watch 5 is coming out or other things like that, where we can absolutely explore more. We kind of needed a foothold and a beachhead, so to speak, to land on. And we don't want things like that to be what holds us back from trying new things and moving forward. So if you can imagine in our product development meetings and sessions, if we're talking about new platform, you could name 5 or 6. I'm wearing an Aura ring. This is a really interesting wearable. Where's Nomad? Where are we building for this? You know? And so we need to find a way where we can move forward without the kind of perfect, complete program theory or you know, without that holding us back from making meaningful progress in a space. So I'm really happy that we're able to do that with the Pixel Watch, because we get to launch, we get to learn, we get to develop and connect with those customers. What I'm most excited about is seeing and connecting with customers, seeing how people like it, how they use it, what we learn from it. How does this help some of our other products? How do we learn and grow from it? It's about more than just, you know, is this the largest market? Is this a meaningful market we want to invest in and build for? Are they building a great product? Are they finding their market? Is that something we want to be involved with? And so we've always found that we build for things we believe in. And when we do that over the long term, it wins, and we win from that.
What made you guys believe in Pixel specifically? Like, is it, and I know, because you guys have previously sold, I mean, I'm talking more than half a decade ago, but I think you sold Pixel cases for a generation or two, correct? I might be making that up.
We did. Yeah, okay. I think we did Pixel 4 and Pixel 3 and Pixel 4.
Okay. Yeah. So what made you guys, I guess, I mean, if you want to get into it, what made you guys stop development of those cases, and what made you decide to come back into the Pixel ecosystem?
This is a great question. This is really the $1 million question. And there's no perfect way to go about it. Would going more Samsung have been a better decision? Maybe, maybe not. We did do Samsung cases once a long time ago. I can't remember the model number that it was. They're obviously a huge ecosystem, and they have their watch and stuff. Google is a great company they're really collaborative. We don't work with Samsung, so it's not that Samsung is not, but I can say proactively that Google is collaborative. We've had the opportunity to go up there in the past and connect with their team, and that can be a benefit. We're based in Southern California. They're based in Northern California. I've always found Google to be, have this kind of open-mindedness to the way they approach development with third parties. So they can be a good partner from that point. They also are the flagship devices of the Android system. So from our standpoint, when we look at the watch, it might not make as much sense, but imagine we're building a power product or something where, you know, there's we have Qi 2.2 stuff in development. And so we have, when we take it back and shift from wearables in wearable bands, but to power, we get to Qi 2.2. Which, by the way, our devices are going to be compatible with that. there, it's interesting mothership to be interconnected with. And we think that it can give us learnings that can help make us be a stronger company.
I'm glad you brought up Qi too, because I do think that is like a fascinating part of this launch, is that Google is essentially buying into an ecosystem of products that already exists, right? Like by building Qi 2 magnets into the phones, because Qi 2 is the same alignment as MagSafe, Google has unlocked through like a completely like straightforward and ethical path. It's not like they found some workaround to build these accessories, right? Like every MagSafe product, or virtually every MagSafe product on Amazon, at Walmart, like whatever, now works with like Google's newest phone lineup. Does that make it so that you guys want to invest more into MagSafe and Qi 2 products just because like now it's two manufacturers doing it? So maybe it'll be three if Samsung gets on board, and so on and so forth. Like, does that make like magnet supported accessories like that much more exciting, or is it just kind of like business as usual?
I think that it definitely makes it more exciting. I think that MagSafe is, we made Qi products for a long time, like our base station and base station Pro and whatnot. And those are really, really beloved products and successful when like prior to MagSafe. And then when Apple introduced the magnets, it kind of had a strong impact on that. And we also learned that having alignment with a Qi coil is extremely important for the speed and the heat and, you know, just power transfer in general. So we kind of went all in on going into MagSafe, and we work with the World Power Consortium, who manages the Qi certifications and whatnot, learning on like, you know, what's on their cutting edge, how do we get our product certified for that as quickly as possible. And so now we've moved away from using official MagSafe pucks into using these Qi 2 certified pucks, which are just as good and much more reasonable, so we can offer products at a reasonable price. But I think anyone moving into the space is exciting because for the end user, it's a much better product. And then for us, we also love our products, and being able to sell someone into the ecosystem of Nomad too, it's like get your band, get your charger, all this sort of thing. That is promising. And we think it's a better experience if you can sort of be a one-stop shop of the brand and sort of like align with the brand ethos and our product build quality and materials and whatnot. So having more companies joining that standard for charging, I think is good for everyone. And from our standpoint, we're quite excited about it.
Yeah. It sounds like Pixel cases are coming back, if you ask me. That's what I hear. I hear Pixel phone cases are going to have to come back if you want to be one-stop shop.
It's certainly something that we're discussing. I can't say we're in tooling yet, but it is something that we're working on.
I would love to see it, if only because I think and you guys are one of those. There are several companies like this where it's, you'll visit the website and you'll be like, I really like these accessories. It is too bad that they are all for iPhones, because they all look really nice, which is why I was excited to talk to you guys, because I also think it's really interesting to, you know, we've been kind of talking around it, but like to do this with Pixel, which is obviously not the most popular Android brand anywhere, and certainly not in the US, right? Like Samsung sells millions upon millions of more units, both watches and phones and all of that stuff. They're the bigger company. But it does feel like Pixel fans are the more enthusiastic buyers of these products, right? Like I feel like does that play into it? Like, you guys are nodding, so the answer is yes for the audio listeners. 100%. But it's really interesting, like how much that level of enthusiasm can play. Like if you are selling to a smaller market of more enthused people, like I suppose that is just a much easier way to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, I mean, we have a small product team, and we're very much like a product focused company. You know, like we love making the products that we do. We are enthusiasts about our own products, and we all use them all the time. And Noah, he hounds us if we aren't using them. His best slogan in the office is always be testing. So what I see in working with Google, and I've now worked with the Google ecosystem just a little bit here and there over the last like almost 4 years, that the Pixel ecosystem has a lot of momentum behind it. And there's like, they're making really good interesting and cool products now. Like the phones are really top notch. The watch product is great. Like the buds are good as well. So with that momentum for the product standpoint, like we are excited to build products for it for sure. And then for the community around it, 100%, like we know closely a bunch of people that work in and around the Pixel and Google ecosystem, and seeing their enthusiasm and people, you know, being stoked on the potential for a Nomad case to come out. Like those are the kind of people that we like building products for. So for sure. Like, and in the past we've seen this as well. Like we currently make, or we've made a Pixel Bud case for all of the last three generations of Pixel Buds. And they've been quite popular. Like people have liked them. We think that they turned out really well. And so we sort of flirted with the idea of like jumping further into the Pixel ecosystem for many years now. So that's, it is sort of a confluence of things that made us.
This didn't start yesterday, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it makes, and starting with the earbuds, I suppose, makes sense, because I feel like that's probably the easiest way to buy in, because it's the cheapest accessory, like the earbuds of Google's products, like the cheapest ones you can buy in. And so, you know, you can work your way up the cost, right? And start with earbuds and then watch and then, you know, who knows? But yeah, I really just want you guys to make a case for the phone. Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask this later, but you touched on it by saying you guys are so proud of your products and use them often. What's your each respective favorite Nomad product?
Ooh, Noah, you take this one first.
That's a good question. I might have to say our charge key.
Okay. This thing's, you had it ready, so
this thing's amazing. It's all my keychain, so it's amazing because you can charge your AirPods from your phone. You can charge one phone from the other. The best cable is the one you have on you, and this is the one you always have on you. And it's just it's an incredibly useful device. And we did get started back in there with portable power. We've obviously grown massively with wearables, with phones, and all these great areas. But I use this thing all the time, and I just gave it to a friend's fiance yesterday. They were together, and as soon as I gave it to her, she was super excited, and he was like shrugging, and then they started laughing because when I told her that you can charge your phone from someone else's phone, he just realized he's the responsible charge guy, and she always needs charge, so she's going to be charging from him. So I just love the different ways that you can use it.
I love that.
And it works for Android phones. So again, we are build products for everybody.
Well, and that's the best part of USB-C. I think I am down to a like fully USB-C life at this point. I can't think of anything that like I use routinely that does not charge over USB-C. So, which is,
it's so nice.
It's so nice.
It's such a peace of mind. You're like, I can go with one cable and I'm good.
Well, and to Noah's point, like it is great to have a little cable on a key ring. I don't remember if mine is Nomad. I'm sorry, guys, but I do have one on my key. I know. I'm sorry.
We'll send you one. Don't worry. We'll send you five so that you can give them out to people too.
Every key
ring.
We don't
have enough. My fiance,
I came back from CES this year with I think Belkin gave me a battery pack that is like not sold in the, it was like Disney branded and it's not sold in the US for some reason. It was from, I think, China. And I never thought that she loves that thing. I've never seen her take to an accessory. Like she's never had a magnetic battery bank before. And she uses that thing like, you know, four or five times a week. It's great. The portability of power, I think, is like really underrated in both like battery banks and charger cables like that. Cause I totally agree with you, Noah. Like
phones have become more and more important. I mean, I remember when I got my first cell phone when I was 16, I was going to high school. If you left your phone at home, you didn't think twice. You would not go back and get it. You just kept on moving forward. And now you might not even be able to do that. I was flying Frontier Airline recently. And like they charge you a $40 fee if you didn't have your digital boarding pass. So you not only had to have a phone, you had to have a smartphone or you were getting like a $40 or $45 fine. So when we talk about these devices being essential and keeping them charged being essential, it really brings new meaning to what essential is. I mean, even if you take on the another end of the spectrum there, if you look at, you know, you look at people in crisis, you look at refugees, they'll often have very few things on them. They will have a phone and they will have a charger, actually. So power is almost at the level of like universal human rights, you know, which is a wild thing to say. But
no,
but
I agree with you.
That's where it is with like electricity and water and shelter, you know.
I mean, we've seen that. I mean, not to get too heavy, but, you know, we've seen that in terms of both of modern warfare, in terms of both like the Ukraine war and the Israel-Palestine conflict. Like, I think a lot of like those, both of those conflicts are really centered around the fact that there is a lot of video from the ground, as opposed to like, you know, 30 years ago, that would never have been the case. And I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
Harvey, I don't know how to transition to your favorite accessory.
I've hijacked us there into global affairs with charge key.
Yeah, I think one thing that Noah didn't mention about charge key is it's his favorite product because his stuff always dies. It's always dead. Noah's always like, hey, can I grab a charge from your phone really quick?
We all have that friend though. My best friend is that guy where we'll be hanging out and I'll be like, he'll mention something about his phone not being charged. And I'll be like, just give me like, I have something I can charge it with. Just give me the phone, you know, like I will handle it for you.
I'm a power user.
and hey, so is he, I get it. The friend I'm describing runs the entire like technical side of things at KeyBank Center in Buffalo. So like where the Sabres play, where like big concerts come through. So he's constantly like running around and has his flashlight on and all that. And so, yeah, like I know why it's dead, but it's like 7 p.m. We're out doing something and I'm like, I'll just plug it in. It's fine. Okay, Harvey, favorite accessory.
Yeah, I'm biased because I manage, a couple of product lines here. And so I like really get into, you know, the whole development. I'm sort of with these products from ideation to production and thereafter. Yeah. So I'm working on products for like 2 years at a time and they kind of feel like a kid when they come out. But one of them, I think one of my favorite right now is the magnetic leather back that we make for right now. It's only for iPhone. And
here's all I'll say. Cause I was looking through the website earlier. I did not know about these magnetic leather backs. I saw them earlier, like a week ago. I wrote this piece about how, the Pixel 10 would be the perfect way to bring back those types of like magnetic snapbacks. There was a Motorola phone from a decade ago that had like a very similar function built in. Mm-hmm. And, I'm dying for that on the Pixel 10 because I'm not a case guy traditionally. Mm-hmm. I like cases, but I always end up taking the case off at some point. Mm-hmm. But like that sort of back is exactly what I'm looking for, where it's a little protective, a little grip, but not, it doesn't make the phone feel wider and taller and all that a lot of times like a case can do.
Totally. Yeah. I think that like there's a big growing popularity of like really slim cases, you know, we made one for a couple of years and they're pretty hard to do because they're so thin that if you drop them, they really don't add much protection. They often crack.
Right.
So you can kind of get a similar level of protection, just protecting the back, and it covers the camera lenses. So if you put your phone down, it doesn't like, you're not directly on a lens, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I like that one. It's a fun product to make. It's super simple, but it also like shows off the device super well, which I think like the devices are they're really nice to look at and nice to hold now. So you get this nice combination of, a little bit of protection, a little bit of design. So that's probably my favorite right now. It's not the one that I'm using on my phone at the moment. I drop my phone a lot. So I tear through, screen protectors when I use it. But it is great. So it's something that, you know, we're excited to expand.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for any kind of expansion personally, because you guys make some cool stuff. I want to end kind of on a slightly heavier topic that I hadn't even thought of, because I'm trying to ignore it until Noah was talking to me about it in the pre-show. Tariffs are obviously a big unknown. even as they become a little more cemented, I still feel like they are fluctuating wildly and could genuinely be completely different in a month. So who knows? But how is Nomad as a company navigating the tariff situation? How does it affect you guys? You know, what are the concerns that come into it? And because genuinely, I have not really talked to someone who has like had to face these head on. I've seen some prices, you know, start to rise just like anecdotally, but I have not talked to business owners and creators who have to, you know, deal with the uncertainty that comes with tariffs. So how is that going?
Yeah. So tariffs are a very real wrench in the gears. And, you know, it's been about four months or so since April. And of course, there were some tariffs before. So we have been dealing with them and they've been placed on before. And it's absolutely a wrench in the gears, but it's a wrench in the gears for us and pretty much every other company out there. That's with global supply chains as well. It's not just about China. I mean, things are interconnected. And as we've seen with the tariffs too, they're not just on China. They're all over. I mean, an important thing to remember is we use American leather. This product that we're talking about today, the Pixel Watch, we actually are using American leather from Chicago, from a sixth generation tannery operating out of the United States. We use that as an input and manufacture in China. So things go both ways. We manufacture in China, we sell to China, we work with American suppliers. So there's a very global and interconnected supply chain. So we are hit, everyone is hit, and it's just something that we have to kind of stiff arm our way through. I don't want to say it's been easy. It's certainly not been easy. We've had to become even more efficient as a company, be really thrifty. We do also sell globally. So we have a large market outside of the United States and in Europe, Middle East, to Southeast Asia. So we have some incredible customers around the world. And so on those customers, we're not hit with tariffs if they're outside of the United States. In the United States, we are primarily e-com. We have strong e-com presence. So we have more margin to work with there going direct to consumer. I really feel for the companies that have a lot of exposure to U.S. wholesale, because that's going to be the most difficult. When you talk about 30, 40, 50, 60% tariffs, that could really wipe out all of the margin that the company that's developing and innovating. And by the way, these products, they're not just the cost of goods. There's a huge amount of R&D and development that goes into this. You know, Harvey and I are both here in Santa Barbara. We have a lot of team here, development team in California. So we are developing these products. And with you know, often more typically American R&D and then manufacturing. So there's an interconnectedness. And so when we think about margin, we also have to imagine that you need to cover those costs. So it's something that we have to deal with. It's not easy. We're making it through. And I look at it as more of a midterm problem than a long-term problem, because I think so many people will be so affected by this that it will shift up at some point. We're making it through, though. We're a diversified company, and we are a thrifty company, and we are an agile company.
It sounds like you guys are at the very least, and maybe not having had planned it this way, but at the very least in as good of a shape as you can be to navigate these sorts of waters, as opposed to, as you said, like a company that's dealing with more wholesale.
That's what we tell ourselves. And it's true, but that's what we tell ourselves too when we're having a tough tariff day. It's like, well, at least we're better positioned. It's a stormy time out there. We've been around for going on almost, we're going into our 14th year.
Wow.
So we've been through a lot. We've been through COVID. We've been through tariff administration stuff before. So we're kind of becoming like, I've been there, done that, and plan on being there again company.
That's awesome. Is there anything before we wrap up that you guys want to, and I'm not teasing for phone announcements or anything, but anything you guys want to like highlight that's coming, you know, down the pike, like anything exciting happening at Nomad beyond the Pixel Watch 4 bands that people should check out because they look great?
I think there's something we're working on right now is an upgraded the upgraded generation of our wireless chargers. We're really excited about those. Are coming down the pipe. Will launch before the end of the year. We're in the process of getting them all certified and whatnot with the WPC, but those will be out before the end of the year, and they'll be cross compatible with the Apple ecosystem and Google ecosystem. So really excited about that.
Nice. Also, you guys should make Pebble accessories again. Pebble's back.
Yeah.
Because everything old is new again.
We might even be working on that.
Oh, see, I knew I was going to get something. Noah, Harvey, thank you guys for joining me on what is essentially still the first episode of this podcast. I really appreciate it. You guys, this was a great conversation, and I feel like I learned a lot about how accessories are made, and it's such an odd big world, you know? Like I don't know. It's fascinating stuff.
Great to be here, Will.
Yeah, thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.